Let's begin this with a prayer. Dear God, help these words to be very simple and straightforward. Help us to open our minds and to see how you work. Help us to understand this is about other people and not about us. This isn't about what we have the right to do. It's about what will benefit others when it comes to finding Jesus. Help us to get this, dear God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Huge fight. It was a huge fight. Huge fight that ended up bringing them down to Jerusalem to settle this thing about whether or not this law, this circumcision, all those commandments had to be applied to the Gentiles. Huge fight. The fear was that it would destroy God's kingdom, God's plan. Satan was rooting for those that wanted to impose the law. And again, Satan loses. Loses. So the next thing we know, the word comes back to Antioch. This, by the way, is our study that we predate going back a week or two, isn't it? As we fought through these things in the history of God's family, the church. So the word goes back to Antioch, where they are relieved to hear that they are not encumbered by that Old Testament law, these mostly Gentiles that live in Antioch. So things appear to be wonderful and good and right. And it's time for us to go back to those places in the Gentile world where we've talked to people about Jesus Christ and they have been hungry to hear that God wants everyone, not just an elite group of people, but everyone. And so now we pick out those who will go and you get into another huge fight as Satan tries again to destroy God's plan for his church, family, us. And it's a fight between the two heroes so far in the story of spreading the gospel. Boy by the name of Paul. Boy by the name of Barnabas. And there is a division there, which Satan hopes to use to stop the spread of the gospel. But God steps in. And instead of now one missionary group, there are two. There are two. Instead of two people, there are now four. And all of a sudden, we have the one going back to the island. That would be John Mark and Barnabas. And now Paul and a boy by the name of Silas head north. And they take the mountain pass. And instead of coming by sea, they work their way back up through and by Syria. And now find themselves into Asia. And now we have Paul and Silas who will lead in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ and more information that came from that gathering down in Jerusalem to bring the word back to those that have already been talked to and more to come about what God has planned for his family. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 16, two parts here. We'll do verses 1 through 4. And then we'll spin off and use verses 5 through 10 to conclude the lesson. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra. Get your map out. Do a little charting. You leave Antioch and you go north. There's a mountain pass that you get through. And by the way, there's a highway built by guess who? The Romans. And they're on it, reversing the order of the way that they actually end the first missionary journey. Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, whose mother was Jewish, and a believer whose father was a Greek. First thing to note, Timothy was already a Christian. Timothy had already been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Timothy had already put on Jesus. Timothy was a follower of Jesus Christ, about 20 years old by the best guess. He's a youngster. Hear that? He's a youngster. He fits the definition of several of those people sitting in this room or very close to it. This boy's 20 years old or thereabouts. And he is a disciple of Jesus whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Trouble brewing. Mixed marriage. Jew and Greek. Not a good combination. Especially with Satan peeking in. Here is a chance again to destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Now it's point for you to know that when they got to Lystra, there is this young man who is a disciple. He is a believer. He apparently is a teacher. Because not only do the folks that lived in that town of Lystra, but go down the road a ways, and it is several miles. His reputation, this boy's name Timothy, has spread all the way to Iconium that he is a good man. This youngster, whatever he was doing it to the point that the people down the road, the folks at Gainesville, had heard about the work of this young boy who lived in Ava, about the same distance. So this young man is already active in doing something to preach Jesus and proclaim his word to the point that people down the road at Mansfield or Gainesville are aware of him and know who he is. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Now remember the food fight that just took place back at Antioch between Paul and Barnabas. Had to do with a young boy. A young boy by the name of John Mark, who on that first journey got homesick and came home. And now Barnabas wants to give him another chance. That's the nature of Barnabas. And you end up with this huge dispute. They were not happy with one another. They were red-faced with one another as they argued whether or not he ought to go. That's what led to this now, this part of the missionary journey we call the second. But now when we get to this town, there is a young man. Boy, God is smart. Now you have John Mark on the Isle of Cyprus with a boy by the name of Barnabas, learning what needs to be done. And now you have Timothy finding another 20-year-old just up the road, over the mountain, and in that little town, who has already gone out and impressed people with his love for Jesus and his ability to talk about what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And God says, here he is, to Paul. The Paul who won't put up with kids who want to go home because they get homesick. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Problem. So he circumcised him. Oh my. So he circumcised him. His mama is a Jew. His daddy is a Greek or heathen, pagan, however you want to sort it. And the boy had not been circumcised. Problem. I thought we settled this. That's the first thing that comes to your mind, isn't it? Thought we settled this. I thought we established down there at Jerusalem that circumcision had absolutely nothing to do with salvation. And the answer is you are precisely, absolutely, completely right. Being circumcised has nothing to do with being a child of God. How do we know that? Well, first off, Timothy, or this boy right here, Timothy already is a child of God. He is a disciple. He's a follower. He's put on Jesus Christ. He's been buried with him in baptism. And as far as God and the writer here, which is Luke, is concerned, this man is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. That's why they know about him in the other towns. This has nothing to do with salvation. You hear that? Nothing. But Paul looks at him and says, I want to take him on the journey with me. Where's Paul going? Paul's going into all the world. Paul will be in all kinds of different places. Paul will run into all kinds of different peoples. And look what it says, including Jews. Not making it up. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. For all of them, or for they all knew his father was a Greek. You ever heard of something called common sense? You ever heard of it? You ever heard of looking at a circumstance and saying, you know what? In order for this to work and be effective, we're going to have to do something right here. First thing you need to establish is there was absolutely no reason at all for Timothy to be circumcised. None. Salvation had already come down from Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and Timothy was a part of that. Right? The scripture already defines that for us right here. But Paul is about to take this young man, and what Paul wants to be able to do is to talk to Jews and Gentiles. He will do that through all of his missionary journeys. Go look it up. Where's the first place that Paul is going to go when he comes into a town? He's going to go to the Jewish church. And he's going to sit there and listen to them. And then after a little while, they're going to give him a chance to stand up and comment on the scripture that's been read. We've already covered this, haven't we? So Paul will work with Jews. And he looks at Timothy, and everybody around knows that he hasn't been circumcised. And so what are they not going to let him in to do if he has Timothy with him? You can't bring that uncircumcised boy in with you. Yes or no? You can't do it. And so Paul simply says, because I intend to take the gospel to Jews and Gentiles, and we don't get this, but I'm willing to bet you a dollar to a donut, he turns to Timothy and says, Timothy, we got a problem. And the problem is, in order for us to be able to talk to Jews who have never heard about Jesus Christ, who do not understand that we have been set free from that law, who have no idea whatsoever of what Jesus has done, how the law has been set aside, nailed on a cross, they're simply Jews. And if this boy comes in, he cannot come in unless he has been circumcised. Timothy looked at him and said, not a problem. I do not care. Do it. And he did. Yes or no? That's precisely what happened. I want to stop for a second or two, and I want to talk about Christian freedom. This particular subject right here has split more families in God's church in America than any one other thing. Timothy had the right to say, I have been set free from the law of circumcision. It does not apply to me. I ain't going to do it. I have the freedom to say no. Had he done that, first off, Paul wouldn't have taken him. He wouldn't have been on the journey. You'll read in 1 and 2 Timothy how important and critical a role this young man is going to play in God's kingdom after Paul has his head cut off. Timothy is important, and God knows it. That's why he put him there, for Paul to find him. But Timothy could have stood on his freedom and refused to be circumcised, and he wouldn't have gone. But Timothy was more concerned about something that is critical in our dealing with one another. And that is, I am concerned about Jack's soul. And in order for me to be able to talk to Jack, I have to be like Jack. And if Jack is a Jew, sorry, it's just working out that way, I will become a Jew. If Jack is a Gentile, I will be like a Gentile. Go look it up. This is precisely how Paul described his success later on in his career. To the Jews, I became a Jew. To the Gentiles, I became a Gentile. How's this splitting the church up? You have the right to do a lot of things as a Christian. You got the right to do them. But what do you exist for? The right to extend your freedom regardless? Or are you more interested about the people who are around you and your influence on them? In way too many places in this country called America, Christians are doing things that they ought not to be doing. Not because they don't have the right to do them, but because by doing them, it destroys God's family in a local community. I have seen it happen time and time and time again. If this is all about freedom, we're going to stop right here because the book's wrong. This is about preaching Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And whatever I do, I will do nothing to cause you to say, I don't want to be a Christian. You think it's an accident that within 20 verses of this get-together down in Jerusalem, where they're arguing about whether the law applies or not, that we have ourselves a circumstance where Timothy and Paul could have raised their hands in the air and said, Jews, we don't care about you. Too bad. Too bad. He hasn't been circumcised and we're coming in anyway. Now, we've come to tell you about the love of Jesus Christ. You think that would have worked? We ought to be ashamed of ourselves, the way we behave with people around us. Well, I have the right to do that. I'm going to do it. Because there's nothing in the book that says I can't. And as a result of that, someone who is struggling with an issue or something that they just do not understand falls away and will burn in hell someday because of the freedom that I exercise. Shame on us. We move on. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him. Paul's the one that did the circumcising here, by the way, because of the Jews who lived in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek, and they traveled from town to town. They delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. You know what they went into these towns and told them? This is with Timothy, who was just circumcised, so they could get into these towns and talk to these people. He'd been circumcised, but absolutely had nothing to do with his salvation. What they said is, we got together, and God has guided us for you to understand that circumcision and the law have absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is in Jesus Christ. And you know who's preaching that along with Paul and Silas? A boy by the name of Timothy who had just been circumcised. Get it? There are times when our freedom has to be set aside because we're concerned about other people. Amen? And just because you have the right to do something does not mean that you have the right to stop the growth of God's kingdom by your behavior. We are always looking out for other people. And what we want to do always takes second place to what is best for God's family. And we ought to understand that beyond anybody because God just wrote it down right here for us to understand. Second part, verse 5, chapter 16. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and daily in their numbers. You want to learn how to grow? You want to learn how to get better? Well, I think verses 5 and 6 are kind of tied together. And at the end of the day, verses 4, 5, and 6 are kind of tied together, aren't they? Matter of fact, they didn't exist in the original letter, did they? So the bottom line is, I'm going to set aside what I want and what freedom I have, and I'm going to do my best to take care of other people. And when people see that, brothers and sisters, not only will they be impressed, but they want to be like that. I'm more concerned about what Scott needs than I am about me. I'm more concerned about Louise than I am about me. And by the way, do you notice Scott moved up here 4, 5, 6, 7 rows? We're getting him. And you know what happened with Louise? Instead of sitting back over there by herself, she's sitting over there by Janice. That's the way it ought to be. We're sucking them in. We're making them part of the family. Because what we need and the way we feel is not important. It is what is best for God's kingdom. So the church strengthened in faith, grew daily. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Perga and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. They're going around telling these congregations that they've been to what has happened, making sure they're okay, providing them with additional information on the law and how it doesn't apply and how circumcision is not important. And when they go, God's family is strengthened. God's family grows more and more people. But then they want to turn north. They want to turn north into northern Turkey. They want to get very much up on the edge of that. And all of a sudden God says no. Have no idea what he does. Have no idea whatsoever how he stops it. A lot of good guesses are bad weather, rivers too full, avalanches so you can't get there. God cutting them off from their ability to go north. They wanted to go north. And so they're refrained from doing that. Verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. I have no idea how you say those towns' names or regions or states' names. That's close enough. Again, they wanted to go north. First time they tried, they were cut off, couldn't do it. So they moved along a little bit further. And you have Paul and Silas and now Timothy. You've got this team that's having great success, seeing strength, seeing growth. And they want to go north. They want to go north. But the Spirit of Jesus, little difference in the Greek here, would not allow them to. Now, God's Spirit is God's Spirit, but at this particular point in time, apparently what they heard came directly from the man himself. I'm thinking this is the guy that knocked Paul off the horse when he was Saul on his road to Damascus. And somehow, after that second attempt to go north, it says that the Spirit of Jesus himself told him no. Verse 8, so they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. By the way, we're now at the sea again. We're now down by the ocean. We're now down by the place with ships. We're now down to decision time. During the night, Paul had a vision. A man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Get out your maps and take a peek. Troas is on the coast of what we call Turkey today. And the area of Macedonia is across that sea in a place we would call Greece. It is the home place of what is called the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, and all of those things that are tied to it. Towns like Corinth and Athens come to mind. But this man at Macedonia in this vision is saying, and he says just pure and simple, he begs them, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. A couple of things you miss unless you're paying attention. Macedonia is the launching point into the Western world. You go north and you end up in places that do not have Jesus for sure, but have little or no influence over you and me. Had they continued north, the gospel of Jesus Christ, at least as far as I can tell, would not have come our way. Now, we know better than that. But that's not what happened. God sent a vision to Paul. You cross over into Greece, and before long you are in Rome. And when you are in Rome, the world opens up, and all of Western civilization is introduced to what we call to this day Christianity. If there is ever a call made by God to a man of God that affects you, man, it's this right here. Because someone somewhere from some place came to America with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Paul and Silas and this youngster by the name of Timothy heard the call, we need help, come. And with that, America hears of Jesus Christ. You think this history book doesn't apply to us? Second thing that you miss if you're not paying attention. Verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Little word, two letters, starts with a W, called an E that follows. It's the beginning of the we passages in the book of Acts. See, Acts is written by a boy by the name of Luke. And Luke will write the book of Luke, and he writes the book of Acts. And at this particular point in time in the story of the spreading of the gospel through the history that God has laid out, the author of the book joins with a boy by the name of Paul, a boy by the name of Silas, and a boy by the name of Timothy, now joined by Luke, who joins the group as they travel across the sea and introduce the world to Jesus Christ as we know it. Won't stay through the entirety of the book, but what we read for the next several chapters is extremely vivid, as the author himself was there. Luke now is with this group as they get on a boat and they go to Macedonia. Freedom is only as important as spreading the word of God, point one. And point number two is that God intended for you to hear about Jesus Christ. Let there be no doubt about it. This is not an accident. This is not a mistake. This is not something in history that you should ignore. God wanted you to hear about Him. And God sent a vision to the most prolific writer in the history of the New Testament so that he would make that trip, so that he would begin to preach the world of Jesus Christ into the world that knew it all, to the Greeks and Romans. And that would be carried to Ava, Missouri on this, the what day is it? 20th day? 21st day. Shirley always knows. 21st day of October 2018. The gospel is here because God sent it to you this day through the Macedonian call. Story continues. This history continues to flow. What God plans for you is laid out here. And what you're going to find now, women, is that you have a very special place in God's kingdom, in God's plan. And these men find a very important woman. And she will open up her home to them and to God's family. And the gospel of Jesus Christ will be spread because of her. Have you found Jesus yet? Are you walking in His footsteps? He intends this for you. He sent Paul to you this day through the Macedonian call. Do you put on Jesus, dying to your sins, being buried, raised anew, washed, made pure and holy by the blood of the Lamb, to walk in His footsteps the remainder of this life until we go home? I can't wait to talk to Timothy and Luke and John Mark and Barnabas and Paul and see Jesus and stand around the throne of God. It's where we're going if we put on Jesus on a day like this as we stand and sing.